Brothers and sisters, Father Robert Barron, the author of the Catholicism series and the rector of Mundelein Seminary, where I attended seminary, often speaks of the way in which we tend to domesticate Jesus. That is to say, we accept those teachings of Jesus that we find agreeable while dismissing those that we find difficult, if not disturbing. Yet, he tells us that we do so to our own peril. For sacred scripture portrays Jesus not as a passive, domesticated guy, but as a very provoking and disruptive person. Today's reading, taken from Luke's gospel, is a prime example of how disturbing Jesus is. Having worked several miracles, St. Luke informs us that Jesus was attracting large crowds. He does so in the way that many celebrities today attract large crowds. And we can think of the crowds that follow people such as Kate Middleton and Prince William, or Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez and Ross Lynch. Yet, unlike many celebrities who often thank their followers and speak of how wonderful their fans are, Jesus addressed his followers by telling them of the great cost involved in following him. He tells them that if they want to follow him, if they want to be his disciple, they must hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even their own life. Harsh words, I know. As egotistical as some of our present-day celebrities may be, it would be hard for us to fathom any celebrity today making such a disturbing statement, especially to his or her own followers. You know, they may tell you to spend your money to buy a certain product or to see them live, but tell you to hate your family and even your own life? Unlikely. Yet this is precisely what Jesus tells his followers they must do. Now, to be clear, when Jesus says that we should hate our families and even our own lives, he doesn't mean that we should detest one another and start forming deep-seated hostilities. St. Augustine, when he heard this, observed that there's a paradox in Christ's commands. That Christ, who gave us the instruction to hate our family and even our own life, is also the same Christ who gave us the instruction to love our enemies. St. Augustine, in explaining this paradox, said, "Whoever wishes to prepare himself now for the life of that kingdom must not hate people, but those earthly relationships through which the present life is sustained." In other words, we're not to attach ourselves to the temporary things of life, including relationships, for relationships and things are all fleeting. Instead, what he tells us we need to do is to attach ourselves to what is eternal, what is enduring. That's the point that Jesus is making. He's helping us understand the cost of discipleship. And we shouldn't take him lightly, because the cost is everything that we have. We must be willing to let go of everything. Being a disciple means that there's nothing that we have, no possession, no desire, no idea, not even any relationship that we can continue to cling to. Jesus must become our all in all. Discipleship is the most expensive and demanding thing that anyone can undertake. Yet despite Jesus' full disclosure of its expense, many people tend to start off on that path to discipleship only to find the cost is too high. You know, starting off on that path to discipleship is usually quite easy. You know, it was easy for people to follow Jesus when he was working miracles and endearing himself to everyone. And in fact, that's what St. Luke tells us happened. Jesus drew great crowds to himself. But were these crowds really disciples? How many of them stuck by him when he insisted that in order to gain eternal life, They must eat his flesh and drink his blood. How many were following him as he endured his passion and crucifixion? A handful, perhaps? It seems that many people either miscalculated the cost of being a disciple, or they simply didn't take Jesus seriously. They wanted to follow the easy Jesus, the Jesus who was working miracles and endearing himself to everyone. They wanted the domesticated Jesus. You know, I often see this dynamic at work today. People don't want to hear the hard truths that Christ proclaimed. They prefer only to hear the pleasant and non-threatening words of Jesus. They want the domesticated Jesus, the Jesus who accepts us, but never challenges us, never calls us to accountability or to conversion. In fact, they've so domesticated Jesus that they think Jesus has converted to their way of thinking, sinful though it may be at times. You know, think of the number of times I hear people say, well, if Jesus were here today, he would do, you know, whatever they want to promote. The statement, first of all, assumes that Jesus is not here today. And second of all, it assumes that if he were here today in his earthly presence as he was 2,000 years ago, that he would change all of his divine teachings for the teachings and desires of human beings. Yet I hear this kind of thinking all the time. You know, even after the last Mass that I just said a few minutes ago, I had somebody come up to me very angry and said, Father, I can't believe that you said that Jesus would say to hate mother and father. How could you say that? I said, well, it's in the gospel. And she goes, well, do you really believe that? And I began to think to myself, and I thought back to my ordination. And at my ordination, Bishop Clark handed me a book just like this. And he said to me, believe what you read and teach what you believe, as he hands it to you. When you're ordained a deacon, that's what he says to you. So I said, yes, as a matter of fact, I do believe what St. Luke wrote in the gospel. And I went back, I got back here today, and I quickly looked up. I went to four other English translations. They all use the word hate, and I looked in the Greek text, and it also uses the word hate there. So it's an accurate translation as well. So it's something that we have to struggle with, something that we have to actually engage. You know, the danger is that we do what we hear in that first reading. The first reading tells us that deliberations of mortals are timid. And so when we think that Jesus should think like us, I think that we're being kind of timid rather than holding ourselves to accountability and seeking conversion. We're instead trying to get Jesus to think like we do. But instead of listening to and following the domesticated Jesus, perhaps what we need to do is to assess whether we have what it takes to be disciples of the real Jesus. Do we have sufficient resources to not only lay a foundation, but to follow through in living out the Christian life? Do we have enough soldiers to fight the good fight, so to speak? From the words of St. Cyril of Alexandria, those who choose to lead a glorious and blameless life should store up beforehand in their mind sufficient zeal. Now, to be clear, when I preach this, I'm preaching it to myself as much as I am to anyone else. You know, like most Americans, I struggle with attachments. I want to be liked. I want to have nice things. But I also know that these things, including my own reputation, are all fleeting. And I know that discipleship demands that I sacrifice my desires for popularity, property, and entertainment. You know, on a superficial level, I could speak of the times that I've had to sacrifice watching Irish football in order to celebrate Mass on Saturday. Perhaps I should have celebrated another Mass last night. And by the way, if I am ever a pastor, the Saturday Mass will in fact begin 30 minutes after the Notre Dame game ends, just as it does on the campus of Our Lady's University. On a more serious note, though, I can also testify that discipleship has had an even greater cost in my own life. And no, I'm not referring to celibacy. I've actually lost friends who are very close to me, in order to follow Christ and his body, the church. One of my friends abandoned our friendship because she couldn't handle that I held to the truth that marriage is between one man and one woman. Another one of my very close friends, a friend from childhood, abandoned our friendship because I criticized the desire to become a billionaire, to simply acquire wealth for wealth's sake. And when I told him I wasn't interested in doing that and instead was going to become a priest, he wanted nothing to do with me anymore. Friends, I was forced to make a decision at that point. Was I willing to follow Christ and adhere to his teachings, even if it cost me a friendship? That's neither an easy nor fun decision to make. Yet it's one that every one of us needs to be prepared to make. Because at some point, Christ is going to ask each and every one of us to renounce something that we hold dear, whether it be a possession, an idea, a relationship, in order to follow him. And in that moment, as the church father, Simeon of the new theologian, says, he who pursues his own will, however slightly, will never be able to observe the law of Christ. Friends, if we want to be disciples of the true Christ, we must be prepared to follow him not only when he's working miracles, but also when he's hanging on the cross. And like the disciples who have gone before us, we must be willing to give everything, up to and including our own life, in order to follow him. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who renounce their possessions to follow Christ.